Good morning, everyone. I've set myself the target of preaching for 4.5 minutes. And the reason I've done that is because Jerome's covering for me in the crash, and the only way I could make him do it is because I told him it would only last 5 minutes. I thought I'd ask with a question for the bodybuilders. Can anyone tell me why bodybuilders is called bodybuilders? Except Rob. Oh, very good. The reason I ask, so she said building up the body of Christ, we didn't hear that. The reason I ask is because a couple of years ago, you might have seen the big banner that's up at the church hall across the way, and that's where Bodybuilders is based. And a couple of years ago on a Monday morning, all the kids were in, ready to start. They were singing their silly songs, and two very muscular men arrived at the front door. You know the type, you know, rippling with biceps and, you know, wearing a tight t-shirt, pretty much just looked like me. And they looked around very confused and said, "Where are the bodybuilders?" So just to clarify, for anybody who didn't pick it up from Rob's announcement, Bodybuilders is a kids club, not a gym. So thanks for being here, Trevor, to represent the bodybuilding class. There you go. The passage that I was at the original Bodybuilders, which I guess was 25 or 26 years ago, and there weren't 400, there were four. So I see on average it's probably less than 10,000 people then. And the passage that they based the week on was the passage that I'm preaching on this morning, which Steph gave me to preach on months ago. So there you go. I think there might be something of God in that. It's Ephesians 4, verses 14 to 16. It says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Kevin, you're here. You're a building man. Which is stronger, a house made of bricks or a house made of wood? If the only thing you have to join the house together is Pritt stick or glue. See, it doesn't actually matter what you build the house out of. If you don't have the right cement, it's going to fall apart. And this passage says that the body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. It's not what every part supplies, what every member supplies, it's what every joint supplies. Other translations say ligaments or connections there. And this often gets overlooked because the kind of Christianity that we have nowadays is all about the members, it's all about the people, it's all about me and my individual walk with God. But the kind of Christianity that Paul was proclaiming to the people of Ephesus, the kind of Christianity that would have been understood by a first century Jew, was a Christianity that was very much rooted in community, in friendship, in connection. And this idea of an individual walk with Jesus is actually a very recent thing. Christianity is all about the connection. It's all about the joints. It's all about the joining together of disparate, different people, different members, people of different abilities and different kinds. And I think Kingsway is a good example of that. We have aged professors. I was talking about me, sorry. Mixed in with all sorts of other people. Sorry, I don't know why I picked on you, Deb. There you go. You're sitting right in front of me. We have old and young, rich and poor. We have healthy, unhealthy. We have men and women. We have people from different nations. But what makes us the body of Christ is not what each person has. It's the joints between us. And actually, I think this is what Christianity is all about. We've made it about other things. In this passage, it talks about every wind of doctrine. We tend to get very obsessed with things that we believe or things that we say or ideas about God, theology, all those kinds of things. But in actual fact, what Christianity is all about is the joints between us. And you can see this all through the New Testament. You read in 1 John 1, where he says, I'm telling you these things that your joy may be full. If you walk in the light, then you have fellowship with one another. If you believe these things, if you walk in the light, then you will have fellowship with one another. He wasn't saying that the primary thing was that you might have a relationship with Jesus, it was that you might have a relationship with one another. You can see it in this chapter where he talks about the relationships between people. We tend to think about this passage in Ephesians. This is the passage that talks about the fivefold ministry, pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers, and so forth. And we tend to think that that's a blueprint for how to run Sunday services in a church. But remember that these people didn't have Sunday services in a church. All they had was a community. That thing was a blueprint for how to live their lives with one another, day to day, in each other's homes, friendships, relationships, marriages, and so forth. And you can see it in the teaching of Jesus as well. How much of his teaching is about how we treat one another, how we pray for one another, how we deal with our anger, how we overcome division and so forth. It's woven throughout his teaching. I think it's what Christianity is actually all about. So to sum up, because I've preached for 3.5 minutes already, I just want to give you two perspectives on this that I think might help us to unpack this as we think about it during the week. First, there's the negative perspective. I think that the greatest expression of hell on earth might be broken relationships. People who maybe are estranged from their families, broken marriages, people who grow up without parents. Those broken relationships cause very real suffering and a very real expression of the accuser, the divider, the destroyer, Satan himself. And when we allow broken relationships between ourselves, we are actually allowing anti-Christ work to take place in Christ's own body. So let's not allow hell on earth, whether it be within these walls with people who we call our brothers and sisters, whether it be with people in our workplace, whether it be immigrants coming into our country, whether it be people from the other side of the community, whatever that means. When we allow division, we are actually operating in opposition to the work of Christ, which is to join, to connect, to build a body out of disparate parts. And then there's the positive perspective, the other side of it. When we make that connection, when we join with other people, when we really make a connection, that is the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was teaching. That's what he's proclaiming about. We think of that as being like this distant thing off in the future when we're all dead and buried in heaven. But the kingdom of God is near, it's here, it's at hand, it's in the relationships we have with one another. When I see God in all of the various different people in my life, then my vision of who God himself is grows. If the only relationships I have are with people who are just like me, then my God is very boring. But if the relationships I have, the people who I allow to talk to me about God, the people who I see God in, are very different from me, then my God is vast. My God grows bigger every day the more people I connect with. I see different sides to his character. I understand differently from different perspectives and different backgrounds and different ideas. And this is where God, the Bible says, commands his blessing. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together, for there the Lord commands his blessing." We're all obsessed with God blessing us. We want to see God meet with us in worship. We want to have God bless us in our workplace, in our homes, and all the rest of it. And yet, the secret is there in Psalm 133. The blessing is not for me. It's for me in my relationships. It's for me and you. It's for us together. If we would only connect, if we would only relate, if we would only open ourselves up to one another, there the Lord commands his blessing. So let's build a house, or rather let's be built into a house, not one that's made necessarily of equally strong members, people who can preach and teach, people who know the Bible back to front, but a house that is built of different parts, and people of different abilities, different backgrounds, different understandings. A house that is knit together, joined together in love, because it's those joints that are actually where God commands his blessing.